Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm thankful to the Lord for the privilege to get to come here today and worship His name. I had the privilege last week of going to Tennessee and ministering to a lady, 37 years old, had several forms of cancer, and only 37 years old, and the devil's trying to take her out already. She just sent me a text message. She was sharing her testimony at church, and so many people were skeptical and unbelieving. And I think, wow, what is the matter with this picture? The very people, you know, say they pray for somebody sick and then call you a liar when you say that God answered your prayer. I think, man, church is in bad shape today. You know, I was wanting to talk today about our prayer life and believing and receiving, asking, receiving. I wanted to ask, has any of you ever asked the Lord for something and then received nothing? Did you think that what you asked for was, well, maybe it just wasn't the will of God, and use that as an escape route for why you didn't get what you prayed for? Well, what does the Bible say about receiving from God? You know, we need to explore stuff like that. We need to be curious enough about the Lord to find out if I pray once or twice and I don't get an answer, if I need to be getting in His Word and find out why I'm not getting those answers. I need to find out what I'm doing wrong. Because the Lord says, pray without ceasing. Well, why am I going to pray without ceasing if I'm not going to get any results? I mean, that's a waste of time. That'd be like me going to work and working every day and never getting a paycheck. You know, wouldn't take too long before I'd smarten up a little bit and go find another job. Well, we need to be like that with God's Word. If we're praying and nothing's happening, we need to be finding out why nothing's happening. You know, God does want our prayers answered. You did know that, right? As with everything in the Bible, God gives us instructions on how to get things done. And, of course, it's just not knowing those instructions that gets us over the top, but rather obeying them and doing them and following instruction. Because, frankly, there's just a lot of people that receive instruction and don't do anything with it. They're stubborn. Well, all my life, I've been a curious person, and I love to learn new things. And as a little child, I love to take things all apart and put them back together. And I just had a knack for doing that. And my dad could fix most anything. And so he had a repair shop at home. It just seemed like people were always bringing him something to fix. And there just wasn't much anything he couldn't fix. And his favorite thing is he liked to work on clocks and watches. Well, one day he had his pocket watch all apart on the table and did something to it, put it back together, and it worked. And he left for work the next morning and left all these watchmaking tools there on the table with the watch. Well, anything that I found in tools nearby, that was fair game to take apart. So I took Dad's watch all apart. Now, I was 8 years old then. I took that watch apart, and I remembered the exact order I put it. I took it apart. And so I was putting the watch back together. And there was a gear that I just couldn't seem to get in place. And I knew that I had taken it apart in a certain order, and I was trying to do that. My dad, I messed with it a good part of the day, and my dad came home, and here was his watch scattered on the table, and me working on it. And most of the time, I would have got a thrashing for something like that, but my dad looked at it. He didn't say anything until finally he said, "Well, son," he says, "you're not going to bed until my watch runs." Well, I had been doing my thing on it all day, pretty much. And, you know, it was supper time. I still didn't have his watch back together. And finally, he watched me working on it some more. And we ate supper, and I went back to work on it some more. And he told me, he says, "Well, you need to put this gear in first." Well, I was only 8 years old, but I knew how I'd taken that watch apart. And I was putting it back together in reverse order of how I took it apart. And so I just kind of figured I was right. My dad was wrong. Well, along about bedtime, I'd finally decided to do it like my dad said. So I took the gears back out and I put it together the way my dad said do it. And lo and behold, that watch just slipped together, and it just, I think 5 minutes time, I had that thing running again. It dawned on me that my dad knew more than I knew. Imagine that. So, you know, here I was only 8 years old, and yet I knew how I took it apart. Well, I said all that to say this. Our Heavenly Father knows more than we do. I know that might come as a rude awakening for some people, but it's the truth. You know, the Lord will continue to let us do things our way all of our life if we insist on doing things our way. He's not going to grab us around the neck and say, "Boy, you're going to do it this way." He gives us free will. And you can look all around the world today and you can see the result of all this free will. You know, the Lord's got instructions how we should live. But all we have to do is look around and see everybody's doing their own thing, whatever's right in their own eyes. Time after time, we're going to fail doing things our way. And God's going to let us do it until we're finally willing to receive instruction. And, you know, some of you may need some instruction right now. And if you're ready to listen, the Lord's ready to help you with your problem. If you're ready to listen. That's the thing. He will let us do what we want to do, or we can heed His instructions. Often we pray about this and that, and nothing happens. We get this attitude sometimes toward God. Or, you know, we might get this attitude, well, maybe I'm just not worthy that God would answer my prayers. The devil's always going to chime right in and say, yeah, you know, you'll never get it right. You know, why would God answer your prayers? And get these feelings of guilt and condemnation, unworthiness. And that's just one of the ways that we end up getting defeated on our prayer life. Or maybe we just get kind of angry with God and get an attitude because we didn't get our way. And I know I've done that in the past. I pray about something and I didn't get it. And I got an attitude. I think I probably speak for all of us. We usually fail to get our prayers answered because we fail to follow instructions of God. God gives us instructions on how to get our prayers answered. Well, anyway, I was running across some scriptures I really wanted to share today. And one of them is in John 16:12. And starting there, and I'll read a few verses there. John 16:12. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You know, so this is the Spirit of truth trying to instruct us, but are we ready to listen to Him? Are we going to do what He says in His instructions, or are we going to be stiff-necked and stubborn and do what we want to do? It says, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, and therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. You know, like I said, my father was trying to tell me how to put this watch together, and I thought I knew better than he did. He was trying to save me trouble so I could succeed. Well, but I wanted to do it my way. How many times are we hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit instructing us, do this or do that, but we want to do it our way? And we just go on failing and wonder why. He said, a little while and you shall not see Me, and again a little while you shall see Me, because I go to the Father. Then some of His disciples among themselves said, what is this that He saith unto us, a little while and you shall not see Me, and again a little while and you shall see Me, and because I go to the Father? And they said therefore, what is this that He saith, a little while? We cannot tell what He saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask of Him, and said to Him, do you inquire among yourselves that I said, a little while, and you shall not see Me, and again a little while, and you shall see Me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy of that a man-child is born into the world. And now therefore you shall have sorrow, but I will see you again, that your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You see, they weren't understanding that they were going to be given God's Holy Spirit, and the Lord was trying to clue them in, and they were being guided by their own wisdom, their own experience, their own knowledge, and they just weren't getting it. But I really like this part. He says, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." I think that means when we pray and ask God for something, we're going to have it. He says, "Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall speak no more to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father Himself loveth you. And because you have loved me and have believed that I come to God." So we can plainly see in verses 23 and 24, Lord not only wants you to receive what you ask for, but that your joy may be full. I think, how many of us pray in beggar mode? You know, I've done that. The Lord reminded me a couple days ago of when I needed a computer real badly. And I was staying down in Georgia, and I came back home to check on our house. It was the 31st of December of 03. And I sat there, and I had all this pile of prayer requests that had been piling up because I'd been down there since October. And no way to keep up on my prayer requests. And I says to the Lord, Lord, does someone have an old laptop computer I could borrow while I'm down in Georgia so I can keep up on my mail? And I was just sitting there watching TV and relaxing, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Jerry, what kind of computer do you want?" And I thought, "Well, I don't know. Beggars can't be choosy. I'll take whatever I can get." He says, "What kind of computer do you want?" The only thing I could think of was compact. So I says, "Lord, I'd like to have a compact laptop computer." And I went back to watching the TV show, and the voice of the Lord came back again and says, "Do you really want an old, used one?" "Well, Lord, you know, I'll take whatever I can get. I'd rather have a new one." And he said, "Then say so." And I think, "Well, Father God, I thank you in the name of Christ Jesus that I have a new compact laptop computer." And boy, I was rejoicing. And the Lord says, "When do you want it?" "Well, anytime would be fine, you know. Right now would be wonderful." "Then say so. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. I have a new compact laptop computer now." And it wasn't 5 minutes, my phone rang, and there was this lady called that we ministered to her family every couple of years. And she called and says, "Are you going to be home tonight?" And I says, "Yeah, why?" And she says, "Well, we're down at the Lake of the Ozarks right now, and the Lord just told me to go buy you a new compact laptop computer and bring it to you." Boy, don't you know, I was rejoicing, and I said, "Oh, Lord, thank you." And about 9:30, knocks on the door. We invite him in, and hand me a brand new laptop computer in the box. And I opened this thing up, and there was a rebate for $150 cash in there. And I handed it to her, and I said, "No." And she said, no, "That's yours. You keep it for your church." And I think God answered that prayer in a matter of a few hours. But I found out something. You don't just throw a prayer out there and just for, "Well, God bless me." "Well, what kind of blessings do you want?" "There are many kinds of blessings." "Well, Lord, I could use a car." "Well, what color car do you want?" "What kind of car do you want?" "There's many cars." We need to pray with something specific in mind. We'll say, for example, someone in your family is sick. "Well, Lord, I pray you heal them." "Well, who's them?" "Well, you know, this member of my family." "Well, when do you want him healed?" "Well, I don't know, just heal him." You know, see, he wants us to ask specifically. Maybe you remember the exact day and hour that you asked Christ Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. You asked Him specifically to do that, didn't you? To forgive your sins. You didn't go to Him and say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, please teach me to play the saxophone." No, you asked Him to forgive your sins. You gave Him a specific request. When we pray to the Lord, just don't throw something out there. and just maybe like rolling dice, well, maybe I'll get it, maybe I won't. Would you go to your Heavenly Father as a beggar? Well, would you go to your earthly father as a beggar? Would not your earthly father give you what you need? Of course, now I realize that some people have earthly fathers that don't give a hoot about their kids. And I understand that. And so I can understand how they think, well, my earthly father doesn't care if I live or die. Why would my heavenly father? And they have problems receiving from the Lord for that reason. But you got to remember who your heavenly father is. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. He's not like an earthly father. But yet, even though your heavenly father loves you, there are instructions to heed. I'd like to go over in Mark chapter 5 and start in verse 21. This is the story, and I've read this before, about how Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. I'm going to use part of this. It said, when Jesus was passed over again by ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cameth to him of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, or I beseech thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she shall live. You see, he didn't just say, well, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come with me. He gave him a very specific request here. And it says, and Jesus went with him. You see, God is more than willing to help you. He wants to know what you want. Now, the Bible also tells us God knows what we need before we even ask, but he still wants us to ask, right? Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. You know, no doubt that she had spent everything she had calling upon the doctors, but up to that time she had not called on God. Well, the Lord let her spend all her money on the doctors. She was doing things her way with no success. And God let her do it. But when she heard of Jesus, she changed. She decided to do it God's way. And she says, for if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he looked about to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, what happened here is that there were two different ones. One asked of Jesus, and he complied. The other went to Jesus. I'll put it like this. One went to Jesus, and Jesus went to his daughter. The other one, the woman with the issue of blood, came to Jesus and didn't even ask. She took. And they both got what they needed. Now, over in Luke chapter 11, we'll start in verse 5 here. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and call and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut and my children are in bed with me and I cannot rise to give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You see, the Lord has given us instructions here. He's given us specific instructions how to get our prayers answered. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, Isn't that something? Because he's saying if you do it the way I tell you to do it, you're going to get your answer. But yet so many of us want to do it our way and then wonder why it doesn't work. It says, if the son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, notice he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Well, because you need the Holy Spirit to lead you in the way to get your prayers answered. You need to be led in the right way to live. God doesn't want you stumbling through your life sick, broke, beat up, depressed. He wants to lead you in a good way. He wants to bless you. You know, he says, the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. I can't see where any place in there he says he delights in them not being able to afford to buy a loaf of bread and feed their kids. That there's a lot of people that go to church that are so poor they can't feed their kids. Why is that? Because they're ignoring the instructions of the Lord. God doesn't want his kids sick. He doesn't want them broke. He doesn't want them depressed. He doesn't want them beat up. You know, he said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and they have it more abundantly. That's God's will. How many of us are living way below God's standard right now? How many of us are doing without things that they need and suffering and sick and trying to blame God for saying it's his will that they're sick? No, it ought not be that way. That's not God's will. I like this one, that 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, you got to go back to this part again. If we ask anything according to his will. Okay? Now, I remember one time praying. I'd been asked to go to Africa to minister. I didn't know. I could not find chapter and verse in the Bible that told me specifically to go to Africa. But he did say, you be witnesses unto me and to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the other parts of the earth. So I had to say, Lord, if it's your will, I'll go to Africa. Well, it was, and I did twice. But I never have to say, Lord, if it's your will, heal this person. Oh, boy. I know his will. It's clearly written. Jesus says, I do nothing but my Father show me. He says, I and my Father are one. So what did he do when the sick came to him? Well, you know, I just think it would give more glory to God if you just suffer and you stay sick. You stay blind. You stay a leper. You stay lame. Because your suffering will glorify God. No, what did he do? He healed them. He relieved them of their burdens. He gave them life. Or Satan was giving them death. He gave them blessing and comfort and love where Satan was giving them destruction and depression and poverty and misery. He showed us what the Father's will is. And yet we ignorantly pray, well, Lord God, if it's your will, heal this person. That to me is most one of the ignorant prayers I ever heard, because Jesus didn't refuse to heal anyone that came to him. And I think, you see, this lady that I was just telling you about at the beginning, who went to a church, gave her testimony, gave God glory how he healed her last Sabbath. This woman, we had went out to eat, and she came back, and her back was really hurting her, and she had vertigo on top of that. And I put one hand on top of her head and the other one on small of her back, and all of a sudden she turned her head, and she says, my pain is all gone. And I didn't say a thing, and she just fell to her knees and tears running down her face, and she started praising and thanking God, and she was alternating between bawling and laughing, and she says, I just feel all warm inside. What's that mean? I didn't say anything to her. You know, I know God does that sometimes, but I didn't want to tell her anything like that because I didn't want her to base her expectation of healing on if she felt tingling or warm or hot or anything. And after the Sabbath was over, I thought, my job's done. I can go home. And I did. And she sent a text message. She says, the best way I can explain this is I feel like somebody just poured warm oil inside of me. Well, she went to church Sunday and gave her testimony, and the naysayers, oh, God doesn't do that. And, you know, oh, I just doubt if you're healed. And just, that's the devil tried to talk her out of what God did for her. But, you know, he ain't doing it because she says she knows what happened to her, and she knows she is healed. And I told her, I says, does a burglar ever break into an empty apartment? And she said, no. I said, why not? She said, well, there's nothing to steal. And I said, that's exactly right. I said, I guarantee you, if the devil doesn't come back against you to try to talk you out of your healing, you didn't get anything in the first place. And sure enough, you know, the next day she goes to church where people supposedly were praying and believing God for her, and they didn't believe God did it. I think, that's sad. Why? Because they weren't praying according to the instructions. You know what it talks about in Mark 11, 23, 24, is that, verily I say to you, that you shall say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and be thou cast into the sea, and shall believe in your heart that those things which you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you say it. Shall have. Not maybe. It says, and when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Those are the instructions for receiving the answers to your prayer. If you disregard those two things, you can pray till you're blue in the face and you're just heating the room up with your warm air because that's all you're going to do. You're not going to get anything else but a little heat in the room. But if you want your prayers answered, pray according to the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Over in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Let's go over there. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. This is about Jesus healing a centurion servant. When Jesus entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus says, I will come and heal him. No, I like that. Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm going to come and I'll just earnestly pray and I'll pray and I'll pray and I'll beg God. He said, I'll come and heal him. Not, I'll come to heal him, because, you know, if I say, I will come to heal him, maybe I'll get it done, maybe I won't. But Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Well, see, that was the unworthy thing, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another one, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. My goodness, you see, that man came, he spoke, he believed. And Jesus was seeing that in contrast to what all the others were doing. That man understood authority. I think it's high time we, as God's children, understood authority. We know God's higher than us. But do we have the conception in our mind that He has adopted us into His own family? I don't know if you've ever seen some rich kid driving his BMW down at the lake, for example. And he climbs in that BMW and he sticks that key in the ignition. He turns that key and he don't sit there and think, oh, I'm just a lovely beggar and I really shouldn't be driving this BMW. No, he knows his daddy's rich. And he gave him that car, and he gets in that thing, and he's under authority to drive it. He drives that thing, and he enjoys it to the full. How many of us as God's children are using the authority that God has given us, and we're enjoying it to the full and not just using it to bless ourselves? We're using the authority God's granted us to be a blessing to other people around us. You know, Jesus gave a command to his disciples. Is anybody here a disciple of Christ Jesus today in this modern age? Sure we are. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. How many of us are taking him and his word and operating under our authority? You know, that wasn't a suggestion Jesus gave his disciples. It was a commandment. We're so careful to obey the other commandments and the Ten Commandments and the holy days and the Sabbaths and all this, but what about the rest of it? What about the authority granted us as members of a family? You know, if you live in the king's palace and you're the king's son, you're not going to be out here living in the ghetto under a cardboard box. You're going to be exercising the authority you have as a birthright of the king. God didn't put us here to act like a bunch of beggars. He put us here in this time, in this hour, to build His kingdom on this earth. To give witness of His love, His goodness. To be a blessing to other people. These people that are sick and they're hurting out here and they don't know Jesus, they need to know Him. And how are they going to know? They ain't going to come running in a church and say, tell me about Jesus. You're going to have to go to them. You know, when you want to go fishing, you've got to go to the lake. You can't sit in your living room in your recliner and expect the fish to jump out of the lake and come to you and skin themselves and put themselves in the frying pan and cook themselves and put themselves on the plate. Ain't going to happen, folks. You want to fish, you've got to go where the fish are. You want to be a blessing to the people who need Jesus, you've got to go be a blessing. You know, I love praying for the sick. Well, let me rephrase that. That's what I used to live. I used to go and pray for the sick. And the Lord told me one day, He said, Jerry, you're doing something I didn't tell you to do. And I says, Lord, you know, I've heard that a lot of times. So I said, Lord, tell me and I'll repent. He says, I never told you to pray for the sick. And I said, but Lord, back in July of 93, you told me that you've given me a ministry in healing. He says, I said, heal the sick. Don't pray for them. You know, it took me a long time before I got that in my head. This lady in Tennessee, I didn't pray for her. I put my hands on her. I said, be healed in the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth. Man, God touched her right then. Why? Because I obeyed the instructions and she got the benefit. Okay, I'm not tooting my horn because I laid hands on her. I further told her, she said her dad had diabetes and her legs and feet were swelled up. And I says, when will you see him again? And she says, tomorrow. I says, you lay your hands on your father and heal him in the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth. She went and laid her hands on her father and his swelling went out of his legs. And this was last Sunday, a week ago. I got her testimony right there on my phone. God healed him just like He healed her. When we pray on and minister and speak according to the authority of God's Word and follow the instructions, we will get the results that the early disciples got. You know, if you can't get away from the authority part, so, you know, getting back to the if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth. We got to know that we've heard according to His will. Well, how do you know that? You read your Bible. You find out what God likes. What God loves, we got to love. What God calls an abomination, we got to hate. We can't pray according to what God says is an abomination and expect Him to bless it. Not going to happen. All of His words are true. So I think, well, do you need healing for your body? Rejoice and praise God. Because God never said no. Healed all that came to Him. Every one of them. So if you have a question about that, you know, you got to read Mark chapter 5, for example, where we just went. Both these people got what they wanted from God. You know, someone asked me one time, he said, well, does that mean I can have a new Ferrari? And I think, well, yes, if God gets glory out of it. But, you know, I suspect the only one to get glory out of that would be the person driving it. So, it says if we ask anything according to His will. So we should ask for the things that are going to give God glory. He's already said yes. He's already given us a precondition. If you ask anything according to my will, the answer is yes. I like that. On the other hand, by that I know that if it's not going to give God glory, I'm not even going to ask God for it. I mean, if God could give me a new Ferrari and He would get glorified and not me, He'd probably give me one if I asked for it. That, you know, I see that my flesh would be gratified, but I don't see that the kingdom of God would be built because of me driving a new Ferrari. I don't even ask Him for one. I don't need it. You know, I had a lady give me a Mercedes about 6 years back. I think that was nice. She got blessed for it. I got blessed for it. I put some money in that thing and made it back like a brand new car, and then I gave it away. And somebody else got blessed, and God got glory for that. But, you know, like, for example, healing. Healing glorifies God. God doesn't get glory out of His kids being sick. So when you ask for healing, the answer is yes. God gets the glory out of it. God gave us very specific instructions there in Mark 11, 23 and 24. And if we'll use them, God will get the glory. And we'll get the things we need. And your prayers will always be answered. Oh, one last thing. Before you pray, it says in Psalm 100, verse 4, says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Okay? And be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Those are the number one instructions for receiving your answers to prayer. Before you ask, giving thanks, giving praise, worship Him. Why? Because you're trying to talk God into giving you something that you want? No, because He is God and He's worthy. All of our praise toward God should not be to try to coerce something out of God, but rather because of our adoration to Him, because He is worthy. And if we will do that, we'll have the answers to our prayers. The Lord loves you, that's why. And He wants us to receive. And He wants you to be blessed. So glorify His name. Amen.